Good evening, folks. This is The Weird Part, and I am your host, Vincent Treewell. Tonight, I have some weird news, and it is both real news and definitely weird. Tonight, I will be discussing the artist, the well-known artist, Thomas Kincaid, the painter of light. If you live in the United States, or apparently in the UK, you've seen Thomas Kincaid's work. You may have it in your house. According to what I have read, 1 in 20 American homes, 5% of American homes, have a print or painting from Thomas Kincaid. His work is also very popular in public places, waiting rooms, offices, anywhere where you want something that's pretty and soothing and wholesome and non-disturbing. He was a phenomenally successful artist who received very limited critical acclaim because he painted what might be called Norman Rockwell-esque landscapes and pictures of buildings, such as a cottage or farmhouse at sunset, non-controversial works, which was not a ticket to critical acclaim in the avant-garde art world, but certainly sold a lot of prints. If you look him up online, you will find many ads for his works, and you can get a very quick and easy idea of what he painted. He was the painter of light, and he worked with a lot of warm, bright colors that are usually sunrise or sunsets, and just appear kind of, I would say, heartwarming. His work, I find a lot of it to be beautiful, but beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and, you know, everyone will have to draw their own conclusions. But he was, in his own way, an extremely successful artist. He was also known as a devout Christian, and he lived by that, by all public appearances, and that I don't want that to come off the wrong way. Everything seems to suggest that he was a sincere Christian. But there's more to the story, and the way that we come to the rest of the story is certainly very bizarre. And this story was broke by a British publication that I can't say enough good things about, 14 Times. They are a UK magazine that is still in hard copy, is, you know, a paper publication, a magazine that comes out each month. And in the June episode, the June issue, they had a first-hand account by a close friend of Thomas Kincaid named Jeffrey Valance, who is an artist and a art curator, a person who puts together shows in art galleries, and who knew Thomas Kincaid for many years, but didn't know him quite as well as he thought he did until after he died. And this story has not gotten that much coverage in the United States, but it's gotten a significant amount in Britain, in the UK. And I think the process of how the other side of Thomas Kincaid was discovered is as interesting as any of the facts, but we'll get there. I promise you weird news. This is absolutely weird news. It's not weird crime, because I want to, spoiler alert, Mr. Kincaid did not commit any crimes, nor did Mr. Valance. That's not what we're talking about. Everything was legal and ethical, but it's just fascinatingly weird. And without further ado, let's get into it. In 2004, Mr. Valance put together a art show of Mr. Kincaid's work at California State University at Fullerton, Grand Central Art Center in Santa Ana. It was a huge undertaking, which displayed many, many items of and about Thomas Kincaid's work. In Mr. Valance's description, a lot of art critics came there hoping to trash it, expecting to trash it, and ended up strangely impressed by Thomas Kincaid's body of work. And it received actual critical acclaim, and he gained some respect in the art critic community. In his words, most writers pretty much admitted that they loathed Kincaid and came expecting to hate the show, like gawkers at a train wreck. But then something happened. The kitsch was laid on so thick that something snapped in their brains. They experienced transcendence and ended up liking the show. That's precisely what I had planned. The sudden change in critics from loathing to approval was not lost on Kincaid. When he and I talked about it, he looked ecstatic. Yes, that happened. He had a large public art show, and a lot of people, for a time at least, changed their mind about Thomas Kincaid. Mr. Valance goes on to point out that very few people really knew the true Thomas Kincaid. In fact, it's kind of deep that the public persona as the painter of light that he put out there was one true aspect of his personality. But there were others, and for many reasons, he kept those others rather quiet. Again, to quote Mr. Valance, "This is not widely known that Tom had a profound sense of humor. For instance, whenever Tom and his brother Pat got together, as a matter of course, they'd plot their next big prank." And he goes on to detail how they planned on building a very wholesome-looking Thomas Kincaid-style cabin at Burning Man Festival, and then having it blow up with fireworks. They did not follow through with that one, but they didn't follow through with that, but they certainly had a credible plan to do that. So, the Heaven on Earth exhibition that Mr. Valance put together in 2004 allowed them to talk, and they knew each other well by this point, but they really connected at that event. 8 years later, Thomas Kincaid would die at the age of 54 in a unfortunate, apparently accidental, mixing of a sedative and alcohol. Mr. Valance was devastated. He says that Kincaid was at the top of his game, had never been more successful. And he was prepared, and the day he died, Valance was preparing a smaller version of the Kincaid show, Heaven on Earth, designed to go on exhibition at California State University at Long Beach. The day before he died, Kincaid's assistant had emailed the show's director, the show's curator, David DeBoer, saying that they were reviewing the exhibition proposal and would get back to him the next day. but Kincaid passed away that evening. The news shocked Mr. Valance, who says, I felt close to him, somehow culpable and linked to the moment of his passing. Soon thereafter, and this is where, to me, it gets interesting in a different way, Jeffrey Valance goes on to say, Soon afterward, I had a series of strangely vivid dreams involving Tom, which seemed more like spiritual visitations. In the first dream, I was in his studio called Ivy Gate. It has a big stone fireplace modeled after the famous fireplace at Yosemite Lodge. In the dream, Tom looked at me and said, Jeffrey, there's something I want to show you. He walked over to the wall on the right side of the fireplace and opened a secret door. Inside, there were stacks of artworks that looked very different from the ones he was known for. We stepped inside, and Tom showed me paintings that seemed very dark, painted in grays and browns, and none of his usual trademark pastels. The work was also emotionally dark, and his usual sentimentality was completely absent. Many were urban cityscapes filled with gray industrial buildings or dark boiler room scenes. I distinctly recall seeing a painting of banal gray drainage pipes. To all this, I exclaimed, and again, this is Mr. Valance describing his dream, which he referred to as a spiritual visitation. To all this, I exclaimed, wow, these are so great. Tom gave me a big bear hug and started crying. I could feel him trembling. When I woke up, I could still feel him quivering and hugging me. The dream seemed hyper-real and more vivid than others. In his dream, I had a sense that he desperately wanted me to see this body of work, and he wanted vindication of these unknown pieces, and that my encouragement was vital to him. So, essentially, Mr. Valance, who is a professional artist and deeply involved in the art world as a career, is being directed by Thomas Kincaid from beyond the grave through his dream life in an intense experience. Those are his words, but that is not, we have a lot more than just his story. It goes on. In 2016, the Nora Eccles Harrison Museum of Art at Utah State University in Logan held a symposium called A Matter of Taste, Art, Quiche, and Culture, and Mr. Valance was invited to join a panel discussion with the Thomas Kincaid family. He told Thomas Kincaid's family members about his dream. Immediately, we go into his words, immediately, almost in unison, they excitedly asked, oh, so you've seen the paintings in the vault? After the symposium, which he had not at the time, and was not aware that a vault actually existed. After the symposium, I was invited back to Kincaid's studio, and the family opened the secret vault, which in fact did exist. Inside, I beheld what looked to be the exact paintings I had seen in my dream. It sounds incredible, but it really happened. Oddly, being in the vault felt casual and natural to me, as if I was supposed to be there. Although I was also aware that I was in the midst of an intense paranormal experience. I'm not saying that I'm psychic, but something happened in that vault. Now, those are Mr. Valance's words. That's what he says happened. He goes on to say that I leave open the possibility that because I'd known Kincaid since the 2004 Heaven on Earth expedition and that we made together, my subconscious mind had been slowly working on the idea that if Kincaid made these candy-colored sentimental paintings, as an artist, he must have also felt the need to make their polar opposite. But the fact remains that one of the paintings I saw in the vault was exactly the same as the composition of gray pipes in a corner of a room in my dream. Later we found some of Tom's notes in which he writes about making the painting as an art student at UC Berkeley. I believe that is something my subconscious mind could not make up. Yes, so Mr. Valance is discovering this directly through precognitive dreams, through communication with the dead, through something paranormal, however you wish to describe it. He goes on to say, I had several more dreams about Tom. In one, he showed me a stack of papers. I immediately told his family, and the next day they found a stack of papers that turned out to be the notes Tom was writing for a movie script about his life story. In another dream, I saw a molten bronze being poured into a mold. Soon I was physically back in Kincaid's studio, and while talking about the new dream, I started to ask, did Tom ever make any bronze sculpture? Before I could finish the sentence, Tom's wife, Nanette, who hadn't heard me speaking, came walking in from another room holding a famous casting of Kincaid's hands in the famous pose of Albrecht Dürer's Praying Hands. I was astonished, all the more so because I had just read an article on Dürer. So the synchronicities began to pile up in the visitations that he was experiencing, the revelations he was experiencing, apparently from the late Thomas Kincaid. I feel as if the spirit of Tom wanted me to become familiar with these paintings and help reveal them to the world. To that end, at the time of writing this, I'm working on curating a major exhibition of works from the vault. At this point, all I can say is that what's in the vault is going to be completely mind-blowing. So, I look forward to seeing whatever he has come out. This is rather unusual that a true news story is basically brought into the world from beyond the veil. But that is apparently exactly what's happening here. Valance goes on to describe Kincaid and his works, saying that Kincaid not only painted light and dark paintings, he also had light and dark aspects of his personality. And, okay, I alternate between quoting Mr. Valance and throwing in my own two cents. But here's where he really gets to describing the second half of the equation, the other side of Thomas Kincaid. Kincaid not only painted light and dark paintings, he also had light and dark aspects of his personality, the darker side of which manifested itself as an alter ego named Ed Aknick, which if you simply look at the name Ed Aknick, it's Kincaid spelled backwards. I had mentioned this briefly in my previous podcast, and I had somewhat mangled the name, but Ed Aknick is Thomas Kincaid's alter ego. The Aknick persona was a cool, rebellious biker with a scraggly beard. This is as described by Valance. He rode a Harley-Davidson dressed in black and wore motorcycle shades and a rebel bandana. As a prank, Kincaid once dressed up as Aknick to play a small part in his 2008 film Thomas Kincaid's Christmas Cottage, which is available. In a little-known clip, Kincaid, in the guise of the biker, disparages his own painting of cottages, saying, "This artist Kincaid, you know, I've seen his work. To me, you know, I'm not into art. What? Who wants a painting of a cottage? If I want a painting, I want a painting of a chick." That's a quote from the movie. Paul Chadwick, Thomas Kincaid's roommate when they were attending art school, writes about Aknick. "If you want to see the Kincaid I knew, rent Thomas Kincaid's Christmas Cottage, including the DVD extras. pay attention less to the too sanitized movie, great cast but a limp story, than a short feature starring Ed Aknick. It's Tom goofing around as a character of his own creation. Few people... Now, we go back to Mr. Valance. Few people knew about this side of the Painter of Light. And it's worth mentioning that the moniker Ed Aknick can be found scrawled across one of Kincaid's childhood drawings. So there's evidence that the character has a much earlier origin in Kincaid's life. Throughout his life, Tom delighted in going to biker rallies, such as the Sturgis Rally in South Dakota and the Hollister Rally in California. Hollister is infamous for its 1947 drunken biker riot that inspired the 1953 classic film The Wild One, starring Marlon Brando and Lee Marvin. And he goes on to describe, you know, biker culture and, you know, the whole subculture of riding Harleys and partying and kind of raising hell. So Tom, decked out in his biker getup, wandered anonymously through the raucous crowds. He also painted self-portraits riding his Harley, which are hiding in plain sight on at least 7 of his street scene paintings, including San Francisco, a view down California Street from Knob Hill. About these paintings, he wrote, "As I worked, I wanted so much to enter the heart of San Francisco that I even posed myself astride my vintage Harley-Davidson motorcycle, making my way up the steep incline of the boulevard." So, Ed Aknick is this alter ego to Thomas Kincaid, who is interesting, who lives out things that Kincaid as himself could not, for many reasons, and also apparently painted things that Thomas Kincaid could not paint as himself, or something like that. It's complicated, because is Kincaid painting Aknick, painting himself, painting a different version of himself, painting a different part of himself? It's not self-explanatory. Jeffrey Valance attempts to explain this dichotomy, and in his words, "It's easy to imagine Ed Aknick as the self-parodying polar opposite of Kincaid's corporate persona, the latter being what we tend to think of as the real Kincaid. I contend that Kincaid's alter ego is more complex and less ironic than that. The relationship between Tom and Ed seems more like Andy Kaufman's porous relationship with his character Tony Clifton. Watching Andy playing Tony on TV, you're forced to ask where one personality stops and the other begins, and which one is the real Andy. It's a paradox that the most accurate article ever written about Thomas Kincaid was written as an April Fool's Day prank. The story published on April 1st, 2015, and he goes into, it was published on artslant.com, by Natalie Hagert, who was going by the name Arville Tromper, and it was a April Fool's Day joke, where she wrote, "Newly uncovered secret notes revealed Thomas Kincaid was actually a genius conceptual artist." Hagert's hoax article included a fake quote from Jeffrey Valance, which says, "Jeffrey Valance, contemporary artist and curator who worked with Kincaid on his first and so far only museum exhibition, expressed a great deal of shock at the news. Tom had thought out loud to me about wanting to be a performance artist, but I never imagined the act was, well, a real act. I always thought he was a kind of repressed trickster, but this is unbelievable." Hagert's article claimed that behind the sentimental painter was a secret performance artist and conceptual mastermind. No one knew how close to the truth that was. So yes, his most accurate description comes from parody and satire. It comes from April Fool's Day joke article, which is onion-esque, And yet was accidentally, synchronistically, describing the real person that it was attempting to mock. In my humble opinion, speaking as Vincent Treewell here, so in other words, I'm not quoting Valence, this goes beyond irony and is an incredible example of synchronicity, that someone writes a parody article for April Fool's Day and ends up revealing an unknown truth that they couldn't have known at the time. So I find that fascinating. Valence describes Kincaid's work, his public work, his work as a painter of light, and how he had a certain brand. And while that wasn't fake, that was also only one part of his personality. Valence describes him as, well, he describes him thusly. When Thomas Kincaid traveled around the country to speak about his work in his Thomas Kincaid signature galleries, his voice often took on the distinctive accent associated with whatever place he was in. He was particularly gifted at many variations of the Southern drawl. It meant that, wherever he was, he seemed like a local good old boy that his audience could relate to. He was Thomas Kincaid, the painter of light, a folksy guy, a skilled businessman, and above all a good Christian. We would say, God is my art agent, and saw himself as a messenger of God. To his collectors, he could be like a religious figure or a prophet. Devout followers wrote letters to him, testifying that by looking at one of his heavenly paintings, they received salvation or were divinely healed from some horrific illness. Several people claimed that when they were about to commit suicide, a glimpse of an inspiring Kincaid painting saved their lives. But the painter of light was only a persona. It was an act that he would perform for the public, and only those who were closest to him could claim to know the real man. Compared to the painter of light, Ed Atnick was wild and out of control. He hung out at rowdy bars and wore shit-kicking boots. And in the last years of Tom's life, this other side came out more and more, until near the end, when the good old boy mask was discarded for behavior that seemed definitely Ed. I firmly believe that Kincaid had a sincere faith in God. However, the more he tried to live up to the perfect painter of light persona that he'd created, the more he was forced to confront that other side of himself. Before he was famous, Thomas attended a church that had a prophet who prognosticated that he would be exceedingly prosperous in his art career, which would have two distinct phases. Tom was perplexed about this mysterious second chapter of his career. Perhaps the next phase related to the forthcoming revelation of the extraordinary secret work in the vault? I don't know. You have a lot to unpack there. Someone had predicted his success. I mean, you know, that happens, but it's definitely interesting. As I'm interpreting this, and from everything that I'm aware of, Kincaid was very sincere in his religious beliefs, but he also struggled with the restrictions that that imposed. And, of course, branding and money and, you know, financial success and, you know, selling a lot of paintings was also a factor. It's complicated, as people are complicated. But yes, there was a lot more to Thomas Kincaid than people guessed. Valence goes on to describe the last day of Thomas Kincaid's life. He was working on a piece called Eternal Springtime that depicts a picturesque park-like setting with a wooden bench of cobblestones surrounded by lovely flowers. When Kincaid was buried, visitors to his burial place were, in Valance's words, taken aback to see the view from his headstone, a scene identical to his last painting. A bench on cobblestones surrounded by greenery and flowers. And here is something that touches me personally as a fellow painter. This is Valance speaking. His autopsy report includes a mention of green paint found in his fingertips. An artist friend of mine, John Kilduff, has a painting group called the Paint Till You Die Club, in which Thomas Kincaid is akin to a patron saint. I truly envision Kincaid in his eternal springtime in the great hereafter. Valance goes on to say, when I think about it, it seems totally insane that I'm in dream communication with the spirit of Thomas Kincaid. However, I'm not the only one in contact with his spirit, as other people close to the late artist have reported their own encounters in which they see a spectral apparition of Kincaid. And get this, he most often appears cruising the highways on his Harley-Davidson in full Ed Eknick biker regalia. He always has a big prankish smile across his face. So yes, end quote. This is a truly bizarre story. One, that such a well-known figure, and I mean, you don't have to be much into art at all to have heard of Thomas Kincaid. And you've certainly, if you live in America, and if you live in the UK, you've seen his work. Apparently, 5% of the population of the United States has some of his work in their house. So yes, you've seen it. Whether you know his name or not, you know who he is, or at least what he did. But that's what he did publicly. And there's a whole different side to the man. And by dark, I don't mean evil. Not at all. But definitely, there was a dark side. And just a wild and free alter ego, the Ed Eknick character, and one could derive quite a bit from that. The thing it makes me think of is the division, and I may have the source wrong on this, I think it came from Carl Jung, between the Apollonians and Dionysians. And the painter of light was very Apollonian, very positive, very, well, he was the painter of light. He, you know, is a certain type of person. The Ed Eknick side dresses in black, drinks, rides a Harley, and is very Dionysian. It would not, I think, be inaccurate to say that we all have different sides to our personality. But he really lived that out to quite a high degree, and it's absolutely fascinating to me, A, that any of this even happened, and B, even more so, that it was revealed through spiritual visitation, through prophetic dreams. And I say prophetic dreams, precognitive dreams, whatever you want to call them, where this other artist comes to the family and they immediately know what he's talking about and allow him to see the vault and to see the paintings. And he's seen some of them already in his dreams. I don't see a non-paranormal explanation for that. I think it's a fascinating story, and I truly look forward to Mr. Valance getting some of these paintings out there, which I believe is, from the article, is a project that he's working on currently. So yes, there you have it. The painter of light and the biker in black. The two sides of Thomas Kincaid and Ed Eknick. This has definitely been the weird part. And I'm Vincent Trewell. Thank you for listening, and good night.